Dawson Peterson. Thank you so much for calling in and talking to us today. You got some good news over the weekend on this article that I'm reading. It shows that you're poised to beat McCaskill stronger than Josh Hawley could beat McCaskill. What's your reaction to these polls?
Well, we had an independent, nonpartisan polling firm do a scientific poll for us because we wondered where we would be at. We had no idea that it would be such a blowout. Of course, if you think about it, this is right about where the Republicans should be polling in a state that Trump won by 19 points. You know, we beat her by 16 points in this poll. The big takeaways, though, was that not only did we beat her by 16 points, but with women, we actually outperformed Claire by 19 points. And then what was really striking was when you look at the young people, ages 18 to 29, usually they tend to vote Democrat, but we just blew her out of the water by 41 points with young people. So if people are looking to revitalize, renew, and restore the Republican Party with young people, then the AP for Liberty campaign can do that.
Well, the big question that I think everybody has is, in order to beat Claire McCaskill, you have to beat Josh Hawley. And, you know, those poll numbers are very favorable to you when it comes to taking on Claire McCaskill. How do you plan on getting to the point where you actually get to challenge her?
Well, it's a good question. A lot of Missouri voters are ABC voters, anybody but Claire. I think the last time a primary poll was done, 45% of people were undecided. That's quite a lot. I can imagine that seeing that I am the strongest candidate to beat Claire McCaskill might just get some of those fence sitters on our side of the fence, you think? But, you know, I outperform Josh Hawley by 9 points. And not only do I outperform Josh Hawley by 9 points, I actually do better with Republicans by 22 points. It's an unbelievable number because I think if you look at the last primary poll that was done about 2 months ago, Josh Hawley was in a strong first place. We were in a distant second. But think about this. So much has happened since then. Josh Hawley threw Governor Eric Greitens under the bus, told him to resign before he had his day in court. That happened since the last primary poll. And now this new poll comes out showing that we're the strongest candidate to beat Claire. That's probably going to change a few people's opinions when it comes to the primary day. You know, it's a two-man race. We were in a distant second, but I'm confident that when a new poll comes out in the primary, that we'll have started to close the gap.
Well, Josh Hawley has done a really good job of kind of just laying in the background, not trying to be out there. It's more of a no news is good news situation for him, where he is waiting for the opportunity. He has some money. He has some financial backing behind him. When we get closer to the primary, I'd imagine we're going to see a lot more of Josh Hawley. We're going to see him in advertisements. We're going to hear him in advertisements, and he's going to be a lot more prominent close to the primary than he is now. How do you plan to combat that onslaught of dollars that he has backing him once he decides to actually start showing up and putting his voice and his face out there?
Right. He likes to talk to us. He doesn't like to talk with us. He doesn't actually show up in person, but he'll do a cut an advertisement to put out on television. That's not what we want in a representative. We have not seen him on the campaign trail in the last year. So, yes, I imagine there will be a surge of television ads, but the best way to beat that is by boots on the ground, shock troops. We're going to send young people all across the state knocking on doors. We've already made tens of thousands of phone calls to Missouri voters. And I just wish you could see it in our little activist group on Facebook, because they love to share all the stories about how we can switch Hawley voters so easily once they've heard of us. One woman even said on the phone, she said, "Is Austin Peterson the guy with the chicken?" "Oh, yeah, he's got my vote." "Of course, yes." So just old-fashioned campaigning. And, you know, again, it's a two-man race. You know, Josh Hawley has got the money. He's got the establishment. I've got the grassroots, the heart, the passion, the hard work. I think that, think about this too. When I beat the GOP establishment, when I beat the GOP golden boy, we are going to enjoy a surge of optimism and popularity. Claire will have 2 months to try and close a 16-point lead. That is going to be a very difficult thing in at least the 2 weeks after I become the nominee, that everyone's going to be excited. Young people are going to start coming to Missouri to start knocking on doors for the general. So I think that if we want the safe bet is no longer Josh Hawley. The safe bet is the guy that has a massive lead over Clare, that didn't throw the governor under the bus, that played it smart, that defended the Constitution.
And a chicken.
And who will keep his promise.
And you've got a chicken.
Austin, Tony Colombo here. Great talking with you today.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, wanted to ask you this. You talk about the GOP establishment. One of the things that still frustrates me, and I'm sure frustrates you, is an example. I was listening to a pundit on a national radio show the other day talking about the vulnerable Democrats, and you know, was going through the different states, West Virginia, Missouri, and then says, you know, and in Missouri we have a great candidate in Josh Hawley. There's this presumptive close that you and I have talked about in the past. I know that national politics and people that aren't Missouri voters don't matter, you know, in this election. However, that presumptive close that people hear from pundits when they're listening to, to national shows or even Missouri shows still do that to a certain point. Have you been able to make any headway and with, you know, like people like in the RNC or getting your name out there so that when we hear these stories about the Senate race in Missouri, we're not hearing that, you know, here's sure. The candidate, you know, without any, you know, discussion of any other candidates?
Of course, and it becomes the danger is the self-fulfilling prophecy in many ways, but that same dynamic existed with Donald Trump, where in many ways they saw him as someone who had absolutely no shot, no way. Hillary Clinton had the inevitability factor going for her, and then all of a sudden the voters decided to turn that on their head. We don't like these Ivy League elitists talking down to us in this way. That we don't like that the Republican Party is pretending that there's no primary. I had to make a quick trip to D.C. last week to get into the swamp and get out, to talk to Senator Mike Lee and Rand Paul for a little while. And when I saw a friend of mine there, Matt Kibbe, who's a former FreedomWorks guy, he told us, he said, Austin, we didn't know. We thought that the GOP establishment just told us that there was no primary, that it was over, that it was done, that Josh Hawley was going to be the guy. And now they're like, after they saw the Politico article about how the GOP Golden Boy is mailing it in, a lot of people are taking a second look. Actually, you know what's really interesting? If you check our public FEC reports, there are people who are donating not only to Josh Hawley, but they're donating to Austin Peterson, too. People are hedging their bets now because of that poll. More people are coming on board in the last week. Last week was the best week of the campaign yet. But I've worked in the mainstream media. I know how it works. They want to try and make it Clare versus Hawley. And now the Democrats definitely want it to be Hawley because they've got so much on him and because they can't run the typical anti-Republican playbook on me like they do with Josh. Clare will have to divide her forces to come after me. She can't attack me like they do with the typical Republican mantra because I'm a different kind of a Republican. So now we know the MSM, they want it to be Josh because he won't be able to get the independents. He won't be able to get the libertarians. I'll get all the Republican votes. That's 50%. All the libertarian votes, that's 6%. That's victory right there, but I'll get a lot of independents. And if you look at the polls, I take away votes from Clare. Josh can't do that. More people participate in the election when I'm included in it. We think we're underperforming because most Republican primary voters are being polled, but we're going to bring new people into the primary. It's an open primary. So ignore the naysayers, ignore the haters, ignore the mainstream media. Listen to the grassroots and the boots on the ground. People have special interests in making sure that Josh wins. The Democrats need him to win because they can beat him, and the mainstream media needs him to win because he fulfills their narrative of that stereotypical Republican that they're going to be able to easily Todd Akin into a corner.
Austin Peterson, who is running for the Senate seat, currently occupied by Claire McCaskill. You can follow him on Twitter, AP for Liberty. Very active Twitter following there and tweets a lot. I want to talk to you a little bit about something that I was reading on Twitter, and I retweeted it, and it seems to still, people are still talking about it. You came out and you talked about your pro-life your pro-life stance and that you're very strongly pro-life. And you also said that you happen to be agnostic. So I think that there's concern, at least when you're looking at demographics and you're breaking down voters, that some people might have with you coming out and being openly agnostic. I'm a Christian. I am pro-life. But I don't necessarily, I say this a lot. Abortion to me isn't a religious issue, because if it is, it's too easy for me or for people who are pro-abortion to say, Don't force your religion at me. But I don't think you need to have religion to have morality. I hope that, like I said, I'm a strong Christian myself. But you've come out and you said, I am agnostic. And you've come out and you said, I'm very pro-life. What do you say to the people who question your openly admitting of your agnosticism and also match that with your pro-life stance?
Great question. Thanks for asking. You know, I had been getting some attacks over my particular worldview, and so I decided it was important for me to address this openly and publicly. And I did that knowing that I would lose some support, knowing that there were some people that would say, Austin, I can't vote for you for this reason. But knowing that, think about this. Wouldn't you rather have somebody who is honest with you? You may not always agree with me, but you're always going to know where I stand. And I think it's important for us to have public servants who are committed to being honest with their constituents. And I could talk to you for hours about how I arrived at the ethical worldview that a human life, it has value, has intrinsic value, and that's why I am pro-life, because we need to value life. And I think that the left has replaced the concept of God with government. Government is the god of the left, and I think that is a horrible mistake. An agnostic is someone who says that I don't know if there's a higher power. I'm willing to be convinced. I'm even willing to go to church and be with my friends and listen to them and what they have to say. But I have to be honest with my voters and say that I have some doubts. And that I believe in religious liberty. I'm a strong believer in religious liberty. And I'm pro-life for many reasons, because I believe in the intrinsic value of human life. Like you said, it's not a religious issue. And do you know, Annie, how many people I've been able to convert to the pro-life message because instead of referring to my religious beliefs for why I think that the human life, all life has value, even the unborn, I'll use scientific arguments. You know, a lot of Democrats believe in abortion all the way up to 9 months. But not every Democrat believes that. Some Democrats think that it is a crime, that it is murder to abort a child, you know, right before birth. And so what we do is I can take those people and stair-step them and say, okay, well, let's go back a little bit further. How about 20 weeks when they have a heartbeat, right? So we need to value life. I believe that we have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, all humans, even the unborn. And so I think that, you know, I would love to talk to you for hours, but it's because I'm honest with you that I have a moral compass. Mm-hmm. If I was dishonest, I would just lie about this, because this would be the easiest thing in the world to lie about. And we have a lot of Christians like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and many others who, boy, they proudly wave their religious flag, but at the end of the day, their policies aren't very Christian. At the end of the day, I hope that voters will vote for someone who is honest with them, who does share their values, who is a constitutional conservative, but who most importantly is honest and keeps their promises.
Yeah, I respect that. Someday you and I will have a cup of coffee and we'll talk more about the Christianity part of it, where
we'll
I come from. But I think it's important to express that value of life. A lot of people will say, thou shalt not kill. Well, that's a very good application of your Christian faith, my Christian faith, towards abortion and why it shouldn't exist. However, you don't have to have an adherence to a particular faith in order to understand how horrible abortion is. And I think that there is value in separating those two, even though there are many, many, many people who derive their morality from their religion. Religion isn't necessary to understand good and bad. So I think that distinction is important. And like I said, that cup of coffee and Christianity, we'll talk
Let's
about
do
that.
It. Thomas Paine once famously said that the world is my church and to do good is my religion. And I proudly follow in the footsteps of people like him and Thomas Jefferson. And I think that, you know, constitutional conservatives are allowed to have some doubts or allowed to have a difference in faith, and that we can still be good representatives mm-hmm. of limited government, which is my number one goal, cutting mm-hmm. spending, doubling down on tax cuts, getting Obamacare out of our health care system, and basically, you know, keeping your promises, sticking to your guns, sticking to your principles, and most importantly, keeping your promises. I'm the only candidate in this race who has kept their political promises, not only to the people of Missouri, but to the people of the United States. And I hope that counts for something. I know some people may discount me for the religious reasons, but I hope that honesty counts for mm-hmm. something at the end of the day.
All right. Austin Peterson, thank you so much for the time. We're going to continue to watch these polls and see how it continues to trend here as we approach August, and keep fighting the good fight. And we're going to try to get Josh Hawley on here. We'll see if he comes on, ask him some of the same questions. Austin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.